T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
From the WEEI studios, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
The destination for Boston sports fans.
Sports Radio 93.7, WEEI FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station. He's a Boston sports superfan.
What's up, Nick?
Yeah. All right, Tom.
She's on the beat for a new generation of sports fans.
What is the Justice League? Is that the same thing as the Avengers?
I like this lady that you have on the line. She makes a lot of sense. Tell him what you wish now.
Now I wish he fell.
It's Fitzy and Mego.
The name of this show should be Off the Rails.
Your narcissism is ruining the program.
I'm sorry. I'm a disaster.
Fitzy and Mego on WEEI.
Hour number two, Fitzy and Mego on WEEI Sports Radio in Boston, Massachusetts, and all across New England and Pats Nation, Red Sox Nation. Give us a call if you'd like to join the party, 617-779-7937. And of course, Miss Megan Adelini is watching over the text line, our little digital sandbox that we ask you to play nicely in at 37.
They're not.
No, what are they 37937? What are they mad about now? Why do they have big mad?
There's a lot of controversy over whether I was rude to Scott or he was rude to me.
Mm-hmm.
I will leave you all to be the judge of that.
Yes, that is not for us to judge. We are just here to set the table, and then we invite you to sit down and behave yourself as best as you can. Megan, there's a lot of Patriots news we need to get to, but let's quickly give everyone a chance to air their Sox thoughts before we do our Patriots pivot. Let's see. Here we go. How about... actually, everyone wants to talk Patriots at this point. I think all of our Red Sox calls are gone. Actually, Carl on the Cape, line one. Okay, last one. Carl on the Cape. Carl, where are you on the Cape, by the way, my man?
Hey, Buzzard, just outside the Cape, Buzzards Bay area.
Oh, no way. What town?
Yeah. The Bourne area.
Okay, I'm going down there later today. So shout out, Carl.
Shout out, Carl. Make sure you swing by the lobster trap, Carl, and tell him Fitzy sent you. It's okay, please. Okay, Carl, what's on your mind, buddy? Yeah, it's a great place.
So here's the thing. I heard kind of the narrative, Omega, where you were going with in terms of talking about Hauk and, you know, he's only got X amount of pitches, so on and so forth. See, this is a really scary team. It's where it gets interesting because the whole reason why this team now is in fuego is because they've been listening for weeks. Everyone tell them why they're going to lose to the next team that they play. And they're playing with a great big chip on their shoulder. Like I said, it makes them extremely dangerous. It reminds me of some of the Sox teams of the past where everyone's counting them out, but they're not counting themselves out. And they're picking each other up. And this thing is starting to build some momentum here. I see it happening in front of our eyes.
I think it's very interesting.
Fenway's going to be electric the next. I'll tell you this: Sunday and Monday, Fenway is going to be insane. Electricity will be off the hook. It's going to be fun to watch.
Carl, I love this because it's the classic nobody believes in us team, and I do think that there is something to that in professional sports. When you underrate somebody, every time that they prove you wrong, they overachieve, and everybody's happy. So, Carl, if you think that's the case, should we just go full on neg so that they win the World Series?
Well, listen, again, let's not get past one game at a time.
Okay.
I think that's where other teams seem to get themselves in the trouble, where this Red Sox team is playing one game at a time with a great big chip on their shoulder. picking each other up, and every night it's a different bat making it happen, or it's going to be a different guy coming out of the bullpen to pick up a starter or so on and so forth. It's great teamwork, and Alex Cora as a manager is doing a phenomenal job. I'd say during the regular season, Cora did an okay job. I'll tell you what, postseason, he turned it up a notch. And you're seeing why this guy is really the best manager in baseball. And we're lucky that the front office made the decision to bring him back because it's paying dividends right now.
Carl,
right,
let me ask
you.
Carl, if you're still on the line. We lost him. Okay, well, let me ask you. Mego, you play Carl. Do you think tomorrow, game three, winner is basically whoever takes game three takes the series, Carl?
No. I don't think so. I could see this be a healthy back and forth.
Yeah?
Yeah. Why do you think tomorrow is winner takes all? That's silly to me.
The Red Sox need to ride the wave of momentum they created with the bashing that they put on last night in St. Pete. And I think they need to get out ahead of this Tampa team, which has a little more speed, has a little more depth, has definitely a better starting rotation, and they probably have younger, healthier starters that they can put in positions to pitch out of the bullpen if we get to a winner-takes-all game five, smoke them if you got them type of game. I feel like if the Red Sox can get out in front tomorrow, get six strong, maybe six, you know, five and a third, five and two-thirds, six, only one or two runs, a similar performance to like he did the other day against the Yankees when Eovaldi was throwing damn near 100 in the middle of the ball game. Then the Red Sox are in a great position to get out ahead of the Rays and maybe demoralize them a little bit. But in terms of, you know, Tampa getting back into this, like if Tampa shows that last night was more anomalous and fluky and they come out and they play another game where they're just a little bit quicker and they're making and they're one move ahead of Cora and the Red Sox who flounder a bit. And if Eovaldi has a rough start, I think that's bad shakes for them.
I think where the Red Sox, and this sounds kind of soft, but I do believe it, so I'm going to say it.
Go for it.
I think that the Red Sox, where their, you know, advantage over Tampa Bay, because I think Tampa Bay is a more complete team roster-wise, but I think that the Red Sox have something, and I said this at the trade deadline, that I think that they have something special in the clubhouse. I think that this is a real team. Even if they're not the most complete roster, I give them the benefit of Cora does a great job of getting these teams to buy in. And that's why I actually really liked Carl's take of nobody believes in us, because I do believe that this team gets off on that kind of thing. And if you can keep that going, and that's why they do so well when they come from behind, because it's like, oh, here we go again. Everybody thinks the game's over. We're going to prove them wrong. Here we go. Like, I think that they do have an advantage there. I'm just not sure that will take you through the next. Come down to game five, if you're lucky. And I'm not sure that it can take you through the next three games, given your starting pitcher situation.
That's why I was saying just put another good old country licking on them tomorrow and let's ride that.
But how
right
do you do
my,
that? How do you do that? You
by just hitting lean on more the, home runs than them?
Lean on the Green Monster? Like, I mean, it's definitely a benefit that they're coming back to Fenway. That's definitely in their advantage. One other thing, and this is really dumb. Why didn't J.D. Martinez take the laundry cart ride last night?
It probably hurts to get into it and or get out of it.
He doesn't have people who can lift him in and out?
He's a big guy. He's a big dude, Mego.
Okay, I didn't know that Joe Judge was 285 pounds.
We just went from J.D. Martinez to Joe Judge. Wait, New York Giants football coach Joe Judge is 285 pounds?
Oh, sorry. No, the Aaron Judge. My bad.
Sorry.
My work spouse is Patriot, so that Joe immediately comes out of my mouth. Aaron Judge is 285 pounds.
He's almost 6'9". Yeah, he's a power forward.
I knew he was a huge dude, but when we were watching that Red Sox Yankees game, and he came up to
brick
the plate,
blank house.
And the announcer said, "Okay, Aaron Judge, 285 pounds of him." I was like, "No way." It's a freaking football player. I looked it up.
Dude,
I was like,
he's
damn.
A monster. He's an the Brohemoths. Like, he actually towers over Giancarlo Stanton, who used to be like the biggest dude in all of baseball. Stantonian home rise. Aaron Judge is golfing. Nice job with the hype reel and bringing the boombox to Fenway, you knuckleheads. Oh well, the Yankees are home. And apparently, so are a bunch of other Patriots. Not to make a real cliche, hacky radio pivot, but
that was an interesting segue there by you.
It was a very interesting segue. It's been a while. Please don't judge. Mego, you sent me a text a few minutes ago. I was combing through Patriots social media on the break as we flipped ours, and I missed this, and you just passed it over to me. I'm going to let you go ahead and take this. This is not breaking news, but this is bad news for
the
Patriots.
I think this is breaking
tomorrow.
News. What
okay.
do you mean?
Go, yeah, well, we're not going to hit the sounder or the alarm or anything, but
well, Stiz is tied up with the phone like crazy, and you know, and for a guy with his lack of patience at a red light,
not to mention his social skills. Are you kidding me? The fact that we're able to actually retain the callers after they have to talk to Chelsea Jones back there.
I'm like, yo, what up?
People do want to talk about the Red Sox, but we're going to talk about the Patriots a little bit because
all right, go for it.
The Patriots, Ronnie Perkins and Jalen Mills both downgraded to out for New England versus Houston. That's bad. That is huge.
That's super bad. That's Michael Cera and Jonah Hill super bad. Like, this is not good. Ronnie Perkins, special teams value and depth maybe at end or linebacker. That's not the issue here. Jalen Mills, who has ascended to cornerback number two, Mego, and has played really, really good football so far this season. Didn't look great in the preseason, mm-hmm. and everyone was saying, like, oh, man, he's going to get torched until Gilmore comes back. I'm not sure why Belichick signed him because he looks like he's more of a linebacker safety hybrid than he is a corner. He's actually played really good corner. People are roasting him for the one catch he gave up against the Saints, but I do not hold that final drive by the Saints.
He was great on Godwin
him.
Last week.
Uh-huh, and he was excellent on Godwin as well. He's out, and so I immediately go to the tweet after you sent it my way, and I see people in the thread writing, okay, it's Sean Wade season. I'd like to remind everyone... He's out. He has a concussion. Stephon Gilmore wouldn't have been eligible to play because he's still on the PUP. Oh, and he's in Carolina now as well. So I ask you, who the hell is going to play cornerback opposite JC Jackson tomorrow? Is it literally going to be Jawan Williams?
John Jones
is a slot guy.
Yeah, and they might bump up John Jones to that. And I think it'll be Jawan Williams, which is not a great option for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Mm-mm. It's just not very dependable on that other side. But yeah, you've run through a whole lot of roster spots this week, and it's just not been a healthy week for the Patriots. And I think we'll get to that more in the next segment when we pivot to Patriots. Mm-hmm. But you are so lucky that you're going to Houston this week and that it's not the Dallas week, because I still think the Patriots come away with a win for sure, but your roster is just, it is so thin right now.
It's so decimated.
Thin.
It's between injuries and COVID. The Patriots roster right now is as thin as I can remember. Like, it is rice paper thin.
Well, it's so early in the season. And,
yeah.
And here's the other part of that is that, and like I said, we'll get into this more. We'll take another call from you Red Sox fans who want to talk about it. But you're in week 5, and what week is the bye week? What week do
13.
They have? Yeah, 13. All right, so this is like a total freaking marathon for getting to the bye week, which those guys wait on a lot because that is a huge break for them from the season, and it's week 13. You are not in a happy place health-wise.
No, the fact that they're going in with 80% of their backup line tomorrow, only David Andrews from the starting front five, is just, it's unconscionable to think that they have to put in four backups on the offensive line tomorrow. Thank God, again, you're not playing the biggest pass rush. You're not playing Tampa that they were able to hold out. I've got a whole thing about Trent Brown. I can't believe that their corner, like every area that we projected was a point of strength where they had great depth. They have either been injured or traded people away at this point. And, yes, they should still get the win. I think the line has gone down from 9.5 to 8.5 at this point. I think it's going to be a struggle tomorrow. I legitimately think this has gone from slump buster game, a get right game, a flex on the Texans so that you can feel better about yourself and get ready for Dallas, to guys, just do whatever you can to get out of there with a win. 1 point, 2 points, 3 points, whatever it is to survive. Because even though the Texans are not, look, it's a pro football team, and I don't want to sound like that guy, but there's just enough guys on there that are going to be motivated to think, I know we got our doors blown off 40-0 last week against Buffalo, but this could be our Super Bowl, basically knocking the Patriots almost off their perch and out of the playoffs come week 5. So don't think that Danny Amendola and everyone else, Marcus Cannon and some old Patriots, Brandon Cooks won't be completely motivated to give it their all tomorrow because this is basically a one-game season for the Texans. 617-779-7937. One more Sox call before we catch you guys up on trending news and go full Patriots pivot. Jim in Weymouth, neighbor to my hometown of Braintree. What up? Welcome to Fitzy and Mego.
Sorry, Jim. Jim isn't there anymore, Fitzy.
Stiz, you son of a bitch. Put in your resignation now. You're fired. All right, we lost Jim. That's okay. 617.
I think we got Spencer who wanted to talk socks, though.
Oh, cool.
If Spencer wants to talk some socks, Spencer, I love you for hire. I love your gift shop. What's up?
I'll take it, buddy. How you doing, pal?
Thank you. Good to talk to you, buddy. What's going on?
All right, so I got a bone to pick with both you guys. All right, so it's going to be a piggyback. It's going to be a piggyback. So first of all, I love you, Fitzy, for many years. All the YouTube stuff, fantastic. Keep it going. Now,
thank you,
Mego, you said that before someone was calling in. If the Sox don't win the next game, you think it's that's not like the end all be all. Mm-hmm. And after a win like last night, momentum and energy, that carries through. A massive game like that carries through. And I'll piggyback that into what Fitzy just said with Houston. Okay, Houston's got their doors blown off, just like you. That's fine. They are demoralized, and they know they're going into a loss. That is a parallel. The Sox have the energy going. Houston has lost it. They just got absolutely embarrassed. The Sox will continue that going. Mego, my question to you is, that momentum means something. The energy, how many, what do we have, 6-7 home runs? That's when's the last time that happened in a Red Sox playoff game? And then the last time the Patriots go into a game that the other team just got blown out and they got a backup quarterback? Both these teams are going to roll. Mego, how can you think that the Sox are not going to just not continue to win the entire game, but they're going to win this series because of what happened last night?
Thank you, Spencer. I do believe in momentum. I know momentum, and I welcome all calls on this subject because I actually find it really interesting. I think momentum is real, but I really only believe it in the moment. Sorry, that's I'm not trying to do a bad pun there. I'm not sure that momentum carries you through multiple days. I think in a game, momentum is real. And I know that that's controversial, that some coaches don't believe in that. But there's a reason that teams defer in football for the second half in case the other team, it's a defensive mechanism in case the other team is rolling. You want to stop them dead coming out of the locker room. You don't want them to get hyped. So I believe in momentum in most sports. I believe that they got on a roll last night. I totally buy that. I'm just not sure that you in a mental way, keep that going through a couple of days. And if you have experience with this and you say, no, you're totally wrong. I've what about this team's momentum or that team's momentum through a whole season? Like, maybe. I just don't see it. I believe in it in the game. I don't believe in it for, a week at a time.
And I hate to say it, Spencer, but I completely disagree with the man who shares the name of a town in Massachusetts about the Patriots tomorrow. I know that the Texans are demoralized. I know they wish Deshaun Watson would actually play games. I know that they think they should be much better, and they wish that everyone wasn't traded away and that they weren't one of the worst teams, if not arguably the worst team in the NFL. But I promise you, they will not roll over. They will not lay down tomorrow. These are still professionals. These are guys that are collecting checks. There's a point of pride. And because they know the Patriots are coming in undermanned and a little wounded, a different team. Come Monday, when we saw them hang with Tampa last weekend in an epic duel of the GOATs, I would have said, you know what? They're going to absolutely clobber them. That's why I said it was a slump buster and a get right game. Next thing you know, you lose 80% of your offensive line. Your secondary takes a couple of massive hits. Even though the Texans stink out loud and from left to right, it's going to be tight. It's going to be a game, but we'll get more into this in just a couple minutes. We got to pay some bills and catch you guys up on sports news. 617-779-7937. Stiz, let us trend.
The best off-season Patriots coverage can be found here. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending right now is anxiety about the Patriots traveling to Houston to take on the Texans. Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Trending, of course, this hour is brought to you by our friends at Budweiser, the Major League beer. This Sunday before Game 3, watch or listen to WEEI's live BP baseball show, the best baseball show in town, with Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt from 1 to 3 p.m. at Cask and Flagon. Who doesn't love that bar? On the corner of Lansdowne and Brookline Ave, it's of course brought to you by Budweiser, the Major League beer. The Red Sox evened up the ALDS with a 14-6 rousing win. Tampa Bay missed the extra point last night in St. Petersburg. The Red Sox hit a franchise record 5 home runs in the playoffs. Kike Hernandez with 5 hits. Of course, Doogie and Xander went back-to-back earlier in the game. J.D. Martinez with the giant 3-run dinger. 4 extra base hits for Kike. He had a home run in the 5th. Game 3 of their best of 5 is Demara. Pre-game begins at 3.07 p.m. The first pitch at 4.07 p.m. Brought to you by Joe Castiglione, Sean McDonough, and Will Fleming. What a calling trio that is. It's Nate Eovaldi on the mound for the Sox against Drew Rasmussen for the hated Rays. You can hear the game right here across the Shaws in Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, as well as streaming on the Odyssey app across all 6 New England states. Whoo boy, the ranks are thin for the Patriots. They will be without 4 of their starting offensive linemen, Isaiah Wynn, Mike Onwenu, Shaq Mason, and Trent Brown, who's logged all of 7 snaps this season. They've all been ruled out for tomorrow's game against the Texans, in addition to cornerback Sean Wade and linebacker Ronnie Perkins, and surprisingly, cornerback slash safety Jalen Mills. Stressing the depth against the Texans tomorrow, kickoff is set for 1 p.m. Russell Wilson, Seahawks quarterback, will be out up to 2 months after having surgery to fix a ruptured tendon he suffered on his throwing hand in a loss Thursday night to the Rams. And the Boston Celtics' Jaylen Brown has tested positive for COVID-19, will miss the Celtics' preseason game against the Raptors tonight, and is currently in quarantine. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Don't go anywhere. Fitzy and Mego talking Pats with you next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now back to Fitzy and Mego on WEEI.
And drop some smooth lyrics. Cause 88, time to set it straight, you know what I'm saying? And there ain't no half-stepping. Word, I'm ready.
Rappers stepping to me, they wanna get some. But I'm the cane, so yo, you know the outcome. I'm not the victory, they can't get with me.
Kickoff is scheduled for tomorrow on the early side of things. Patriots at Texans, game 5. Of the New England Patriots 2021 schedule, their first 17-game calendar. It's the 5th week out of 18 weeks in this season. Fitzy and Mego here on WEEI. And the Pats sit currently, Mego, at a surprising 1-3 on the season. Could easily be 3-1, 2-2, definitely not 0-4, but probably not 4-0 as well. They've been competitive in every game that they've played on the season, have had a couple of hurdles that they've had to clear, some humps they have not been able to get over. They're so close against Tampa last week in what was an absolutely exhausting for people on the field, in the stands, in the media, an exhausting emotional roller coaster of a week. I feel like people got some closure coming out of it. The Pats are going to hate themselves for losing that damn first game to the Dolphins when the ball got put on the ground. They haven't run the ball that well since. As a matter of fact, someone texted me yesterday, Daniel Jones, speaking of, surprisingly, of the New York Giants. Daniel Jones, Giants quarterback, has more rushing yards on the season than Damian Harris. Mac Jones looks great. You can't get the running game together. Everyone seemingly in the tote the rock doghouse. Your offensive line is not even flying to Houston tomorrow. Your secondary is depleted by half. Henry Anderson went down for the season. The linebackers look slow. And Jamie Collins is coming back. I wonder if he can play left tackle, linebacker, and cornerback tomorrow, Mego. My God, what a situation this is.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I'm a huge believer, typically, in you are what your record says you are. I don't feel that way with this Patriots team. 1-3. To me, if they're healthy, they're one of the more talented 1-3 football teams in recent history. Mm-hmm. It is going to haunt them that they gave up that Miami game the first week in a very stupid fashion. I think we're coming off of the emotional high of how good Mac performed against Brady and the Bucks last week. Mm-hmm. And the bummer is with this Houston game on the schedule, you look at that at the beginning of the season and you say, okay, and even a couple weeks ago, you say that's going to be, you know, an emotional high point for the team coming off the huge challenge that was the Bucks, and they didn't get their doors blown off. So I really do believe that was a moral victory. Sorry, I know we're not allowed to say that with good teams, but I think that they came off that with more happy things than things to be aggravated about. I think that this was the perfect setup to go in there and have a commanding performance, go up to 2-3 and make this, you know, the right the ship game. And I think you'll still walk away with this game, but it's going to be a lot tougher. And I think you're going to have to sacrifice a lot of things, such as Mac Jones continuing to get hit, you know, 7 to 10 times a game because you have your backup lineman coming to the offensive line, and it's just going to be tough. It's going to be a tough game for him.
Mac Jones hit 7 to 10 times. 7 times a game would be on the lighter side. 7 yeah. times would borderline be optimal at this point. The poor kid has been hit 23 quarterback hits over the last 2 weeks. 40 quarterback hits, which would be on the high end of hits Tom Brady took over the course of a season during his 20 years here, given his elusiveness, or rather his pocket presence and the offensive line play, which he got more often than not, which was in the upper echelon of the NFL. Mac Jones has been hit, hammered, and harassed for the better part of this season. I know Trent Brown, like I said earlier, went down after but 7 plays in the first game, and that was a huge loss for the Patriots, considering what they were expecting out of him when healthy, one of the best tackles in football, and was arguably the anchor of the 2018 line that bulldozed their way to a surprise Super Bowl victory. The calf issue, since he put on weight and got that big salary, has dogged him out in Oakland/Las Vegas, and now it's nagged him all the way back to New England as well. Shaq Mason with a surprise abdomen injury. David Andrews, who hasn't played like the bear of old, is the only healthy one this week. Now you got Onwenu and Wynn, with one with a COVID case and one is a close contact. One is vaccinated, one is not. Now they're not going to clear protocols and be well enough in time. So they're out. So tomorrow, in a game, like you said, where hopefully they're not playing with an emotional hangover after all the effort that went into that incredible clash in the rain last Sunday night, a game that lived up to, in a surprising capacity, all of the billing and then some, and came down to a field goal with just under a minute left. And yes, earlier I said I wish Belichick went for it, but I was like 51-49 on it. You know, he trusted his kicker. Big Kick Nick has been awesome. He's been nails for the team for over a year plus, and he missed it by literally 3 inches. If anything, I'm sorry that Mac Jones's third down pass was knocked down. But like you said, they are what they are. Here we are, and they're 1-3. And I definitely think they're better than that 1-3 as well. But what you were looking at a line tomorrow for Mac Jones, who's been hit and hammered, and you can't get the running game going. Your line tomorrow, Mego, is going to be, I think if I'm correct, left tackle Yodney Cajuste getting his first start after being drafted in 2019. Your left tackle will be Ted Karras, who they re-signed because they thought they were going to lose David Andrews to Miami. David Andrews at center. Right guard is going to be James Ferentz, called up from the practice squad. And your right tackle, I believe, is going to be Justin Herron with Yasir Durant, who was acquired in the preseason, as the swing tackle. After that, I know this roster pretty well. I know you talk a lot of Pats for a living. I legitimately cannot name anyone else who might have to play line for the Patriots tomorrow. That's how thin their depth is at arguably the most important non-quarterback position on the field tomorrow. Yikes.
It's alarming. You have to hope that these are short-term injuries, that this is, you know, just a bad point in the season, that this is your low point for your health, because there's injuries. Not just the line is, the offensive line is the most heavily hit, but, yep. You know, as we've seen just with the news with Jalen Mills not playing, that there's health issues all over this field, and it's in and all over this team. And it's incredible that your quarterback is as healthy as he is. The benefit of having a 23-year-old quarterback is that he pops up pretty quick after he gets slammed. I think that they're going to have to lean on some of the other big bodies they have on the field. You're going to, I predict that there may be some frustration with what people look at and see as tight end production on offense, because you're going to have to have Hunter Henry out there helping to block. Jonnu Smith, if he can't catch the ball, he's going to have to block, you know?
Right.
But particularly Hunter Henry, because he is such a big body. And this is all this stuff that you can't control. And that's why it's been frustrating so far to watch this team screw up the stuff that you can control. The stuff that's the given for Patriots teams under Bill Belichick, usually having very few penalties, having really strong special teams play. These things that we think are foundational to Belichick Patriots haven't been consistent throughout the season. And I think we're at their worst in that Saints game. And that's the alarming thing, because players are going to get hurt as the season goes on. You know, you can't avoid that. It's just the physical game of football. But if you don't have the foundation to have that production on top of everything else, it starts to get really tricky when you get hit with this bad luck.
Yeah, you know, you're lucky you're playing a team tomorrow. The Texans are 28th in the league in terms of points scored with 67 on the season. And last week, like I said, they got absolutely just destroyed. They were throttled and embarrassed by the Buffalo Bills 40-0 up in Orchard Park. In terms of points against, they are 28th in the league, having had 116 points scored against them. So this normally would be a walk in the park, a cakewalk in the park, whatever you want to say.
What the hell is a cakewalk in the park?
I just sort of made it up on that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there's like two different metaphors.
It's a cake,
there,
yeah, it is. Entirely. I still have, by the way, what is the etymology of cakewalk? Do you know? I've always wanted to
know. Yes, it is. It's something that they do at fairs. At agricultural fairs, there's a competition where you bake a cake. It's very old-fashioned. Mm-hmm. And you walk around and you show the cake to show how beautiful it is. And then other people bet on it to, like, they wager on it to buy the cake. It's like an auction. So it's called a cakewalk.
But why is that analogous to something being super easy? I mean, is it that easy to walk around and showcase a cake that you just baked at a fair?
Yes, I think because it's, like, silly. You're just walking around going, okay, like, look at the, like, Vanna White style, look at
Ma,
this beautiful
look at this,
cake.
Look at this fabulous cake that I just baked. Isn't
exactly.
This fantastic?
It is red velvet.
So carrot cake's my favorite. What's your favorite cake?
Chocolate. Chocolate cheesecake.
Just straight up chocolate?
I like chocolate cheesecake, and I like ice cream
here.
Cake.
Oh, come on. Cavell ice cream cake, Fudgy the Whale, Cookie O' Puss.
Creepy.
Stiz, what's your favorite? I just
Carvel.
Want to make sure you're not asleep.
Carvel,
right?
Best cake of all time, and carrot cake can get the hell out of here.
Carrot cake's pretty good, because I
carrot
like the cream
great.
Cheese frosting.
Thank you.
Ugh.
I'll party with it.
All right. Stiz, I was on your side the first hour. Now I'm back on Team Mego in the
Stiz
second hour.
Stiz and I hate each other.
I know. I love that.
The
love
looks
the
throughout
you...
the show have been... Ugh.
I'm shooting him daggers.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's wonderful. It makes
for
me so
those
happy.
Just tuning in, Stiz honked at me after half a second when a red light turned green and he didn't know that I was the one in front of him until we pulled in the parking lot and I was about to throw down.
Oh, look, we almost had a fist fight in our own parking
I'm
lot because
roast
two
you
people
on air.
Beeped at each other. Oh, I loved it. I don't know. You know, Mego, I've asked this question and I don't think anyone has been able to answer on the radio, online, or anywhere this week. What is it that the Patriots... I think Mac Jones' decision making is excellent when given a chance to actually take time in the pocket. Like I said, I think they can definitely cover. The secondary has lived up to expectation, even though some players haven't popped the way that I thought they would to this point. But now they're hurting in the secondary tomorrow. You're going to see Miles Bryant probably elevated from the practice squad tomorrow to join the ranks of Jawan Williams and John Jones playing corner tomorrow opposite J.C. Jackson, who's now more than just the de facto number one corner. He's arguably the most important player in the defense tomorrow.
He's your secondary.
He is literally, he's the most important player in tomorrow's game on defense. It's unbelievable how much these guys are going to be tested and stressed. Again, thank goodness they're playing the Texans as well. It was a great point by you a couple minutes ago. Whatever you thought the tight ends were going to be able to do tomorrow against the Texans, 29th ranked defense, they're not going to be able to do that much unless it's going to be like some quick flares or maybe a block and release. And you don't have your best blocking running back, James White, because he's out for the season with a hip injury. Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith are probably going to have to help out this offensive line against whatever sort of pass rush or blitz schemes that the Texans dial up for tomorrow's game. I'm calling for a low scoring game. Can you believe the over under in tomorrow's game is 39.5?
Yeah, I think that goes off of just the clown show that Houston has been since Jack Easterby took over there. I would love in the next segment to get some of that Jack Easterby stand up that we've had in the past. It's just really lightning stuff, really great comedic chops on that guy.
Yeah.
But look, Houston is a mess. Houston is an absolute mess. It's so weird that Deshaun Watson is just sitting down there and we have no idea. I actually talked to a couple people down at Foxborough and we were saying like, how much do you want to ask Bill? Do you even like prepare a little bit for Deshaun Watson? Do you even let him enter the brain? Because, he is just sitting down there and they technically could throw him in. He didn't do anything through camp or anything, so I don't know why you would,
but
he's extremely talented.
He's incredible. When healthy, when his mind is right, and when he doesn't have those off-field allegations dogging him, when he's on the field, top five quarterback in the NFL, hands down, sports cliche intended. Oh, there's no question, no doubt about it. He's phenomenal, but they have said they're going to keep him a healthy scratch. Might be the name of that pet food they talk about all the time on the live stream on Odyssey. They are going to deactivate him for every game the rest of the way and pay him, which is just the most Houston Texans thing I have ever heard. I had a chance to talk to Sean Salisbury earlier in the week on NBC Sports Boston, and he said he believes he will never play another game. There is no plans to have him see live game action this season.
He will play in the NFL.
In Houston. No, they'll hold on to him all season. They're going to take the whole punish him, show him what's up kind of deal. They're not going to take a trade offer for him. They will trade him in the offseason, and Sean believes that he'll be a Pro Bowler next season because he'll be motivated. My guess is he'll end up in Miami because they'll bail on Tua. It's a disaster of a situation. I hate to say it, if he were on the field tomorrow, the Patriots would likely be in trouble because he lit them up last year as well, and it was a shocker. Let's get one quick call, Mego, before we take a break. Is my guy Wayne still on hold? Wayne, you there, you crazy knucklehead? What's going on, guy?
Oh, am I on? Oh, hold on. I was just sitting in the back. Hey, what's up, Fitchy? Long time no hear, brother. God, it felt like a year.
I was just hitting the bag.
Hi, Mego. I didn't forget you, Mego.
What's up, bro?
How are you, sweetie? All right, now let me give you my 30 seconds of Red Sox because I'm a little bit happy with them right now. And then the rest will be about my Patriots, okay? I'm in a good mood. Can you tell it, Fitzy? Because I won $1,000 off of Tom Brady in the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
Thank you, Brady! How about that? That's the only time I'll say it. Guys, remember when I told you they were going to go down? I told you that I was the one that called it. I said they were going to go down to L.A. and they were going to lose and they were going to get beaten up.
Yep.
And they ended up losing their number one guy, Gronk, because without Gronk, Brady looked like he didn't get the ball anybody. He couldn't get the ball anybody. But anyways, let me talk about the Red Sox real quick. The Red Sox, little EJ, I know you're 13 and I know you love your team, but your team's going to lose, okay? Because now you're coming back to Fenway Park, buddy, okay? And we have got right now we've got that feeling in us. We're going to explode. So I think we're going to sweep them in the next two games, but I don't see us getting past Houston, Fitzy, okay? That's my baseball talk, okay? Now let's get to the Patriots. All right, my Patriots. Am I happy with them? No, not really. Am I happy with the quarterback, Mac? Yes, very much, because I told everybody this kid was the real deal. And they finally, in the Brady game, they took the training wheels off of Mac, and look what happened. The first 19 completions in a ball, baby. Boom! What do you think of that? And then he went out there and he lit it up. Two touchdowns. Hey, I'm telling you one thing, Fitz. I think, and I know why he did it, but I'll give, you know, I'm glad he did it. I think Belichick rather have Folk lose the game than have him lose the game, Mac lose the game. What do you think of that, Fitzy?
Ooh, that's a good question, Wayno. And you know what? You stored up all that energy and you used it on the heavy bag while we had you on hold and you brought it in the call. Thank you for chiming in and hanging on, buddy. We love the passion of the Patriots superfan. I had not heard anyone spin it that way, Megan.
Oh, I have. And I
that
think
he'd rather be able to pin, like, have Folk do it as opposed to have people say, like,
yeah,
Belichick trusted Mac Jones. Interesting. That's an interesting point, Wayne. You've heard
Belichick,
that one?
Yes. I don't think Belichick is that considerate of his players' personal feelings. I think he's looking at it in time and saying, what gives us the better chance at winning? Nick Folk is a much more experienced
player.
Correct. In the past, he has said he goes with the guy who has the best chance of winning the game for you in those final moments of a football game, and I think he really thought that Nick Folk had it. I thought that Folk had it. I know that there's a lot of hindsight 2020. There's a lot of people out there who think that they know better than the coaching staff, and they sit around and say, oh, well, you know, if Brady got the ball back, he would have this much time and this many timeouts, and Brady, blah, blah, blah. Well, Brady didn't look like Brady for a big part of that game. So for the majority of that game, I would say. So, you know, pump the brakes. I think he made that decision not based on protecting Mac's feelings, because Mac had already won the crowd over at that point. I don't think anybody would say, oh, he blew it for us. I think it was he sincerely thought that was the best player, the best opportunity to seal the game.
Even from that distance and in the rain as well. I told you before, and I'll tell you again, I would trust Big Kick Nick to the ends of the earth. That guy is consistent nails and money. It just, but to only have been 2 yards closer and see that one squeak through the uprights and the Patriots have the lead, and on a night of such great drama and intense theater, to then see Brady have the ball back in his hands after kickoff, it would have been about 50 seconds, two timeouts, and he would have needed about 35 to 40 yards to put their kicker in range for a potential game winner for Tampa. That would have just been, considering the way that he was forcing the ball to Antonio Brown and cooking on that side to John Jones's best efforts to defend him. Oh, that final minute would have been so intense. It's a shame we were deprived of it, but it was still a great game nonetheless. But what about tomorrow? I ask you as we go to break, Patriots fans, do you think Houston can hang in tomorrow with the Patriots? Are you concerned about the Patriots' injuries and the lack of depth on the offensive line, now the secondary and beyond? 617-779-7937. Pat Sox, it's all on the table here. Fitzy and Mego on a Sports Saturday. Don't go anywhere.
We're back to Fitzy and Mego on EEI.
And then where I'm at, like in Boston, right? Everybody says this phrase and it's huge. It's like, yo, we gotta go park the car. Like, we gotta do what? What are you talking about? We gotta go park the car. I'm like, what are you?
Phone, or if you just had to drop the rake in the backyard because you were doubled over with laughter, it's because you were just listening to the comedy stylings of Houston Texans personnel director or Ministry of Services. I don't even know what his title is. The very odd and unusual Jack Easterby.
He's in charge of football operations.
Oh, he's the football operations guy. So is Nick Caserio? This is Fitzy and Mego on WEEI. We're just ending up finishing up hour number two, hour number three at hand momentarily. So Caserio, is Caserio the GM?
Caserio's
GM. He's officially GM.
Yeah,
okay.
Easterby was the interim GM. But knowing the history of this guy who departed the Patriots on not so friendly terms, reports at the time when he left the Patriots for the Houston Texans were that they felt betrayed by this guy who they saw as instrumental in handling the fallout from the Aaron Hernandez crisis in the locker room and trying to kind of rewrite the ship to the idea of the Patriot way and the way that Myra Kraft wanted this team run with, you know, really high level character guys. Easterby was supposed to be the player, kind of the character player coach and player character coach. And so then when he left, the way that he left the Patriots organization, kind of blindsiding them and going to Houston, I think there were reportedly some hurt feelings. And then he went down and essentially did this crazy takeover, this chaotic takeover in Houston. And you can tell just by his quick wit in that piece and how in touch he is with wherever he goes.
Park the car.
That that
park the car
phrase that we always hear at tailgates, at parties, at weddings on the Cape. Oh, yeah, it's time to park the car.
Park the car.
That totally sounds like, you know, a guy who is just on it. He is a quick mind, football or people-wise.
A contemporary comedy poet, a poet philosopher. He's got a it's got smart pack. Oh, is that a ghost car? Don't be a smarty pants. I mean, that whole routine, that video, which is somewhere floating around in the ethos and the back ends of the internet, is just so unbelievably
weird.
And I know a few things about cringe comedy sets in my day, but I'll tell you this one. And this goes to speak to exactly what a bizarre culture the Texans have. Like, you know what Bill Belichick football and the New England Patriots have been and are all about. And while they continue to try to redefine the team on the field, the team will always be built in Bill Belichick's mold and in his style. And, you know, while you have some occasional cultural flares, shall we say, like Steve Belichick and his very memeable antics on the sidelines last weekend, it's always going to be in Bill Belichick's mold and in his style and in his tone. You know, it's all going to be very buttoned down, and it is what it is, and we're on to the next one, and we just got to do better and try to play better and everything Belichickian. The Texans are a disaster. They are a nightmare covered in wreckage, and they're just like, it's not even really a football team at this point. Like, it's just, I guess, a place where, like, other people just go to collect contracts, and yet still tomorrow, because they're healthier than the Patriots, they're probably going to be in this game, and it's going to give pause to the idea that the Patriots could just go somewhere and clean up some of the mess. Let me ask you this, Mego, before we flip to the third and final hour. Are you surprised that the Patriots have been their own worst enemy to date and have played? You've covered the Patriots now. You've watched them from afar. You've been covering them up close for several years now. Are you as surprised as myself and several others that the Patriots have been as messy, that they've had so many penalties called against them, that they've put the ball on the ground so often, that they've had all of the issues so uncharacteristic of the first two decades of the Bill Belichick run in Foxborough?
Initially, I was definitely surprised, especially during the Saints week, because you look at the way that they operated in the offseason and the money that they spent on free agency and then taking a quarterback in the first round of the draft with Mac Jones. It looked like Bill was locked and loaded and locked in. Like, Bill, after the COVID year, it looked like he was looking at this year like, okay, now it's time to get back to work. It's time to reestablish my pride and the pride of this team in the locker room. And so I was kind of like, you know, what the hell is going on here? Why is it so disorganized? This is so un-Belichick of a team. But then if you take a closer look, and I actually think Nora Princiati of The Ringer made a really good point with this during Brady week. She had a story not just about Brady's departure, but about the brain drain that there has been in Foxborough and the amount of turnover. Yes, there's turnover on the roster. It takes a little while for guys to gel together beyond training camp, beyond September, for these free agents to come in and everybody to learn to play together. But you also have had some critical losses on the coaching staff over the recent years. There have always been coaches that have departed because the Patriots are a successful franchise, and so other teams want to pick off coaches from the franchise that's winning. But I think that departures like Dante Scarnecchia were huge. You know, losing Brian Flores a couple years ago was a big knock to the team. And I think that having Bill having to have his hand in every single jar, aside from what Josh McDaniels is doing, is draining. And I think that it's difficult for him to focus on the little things that really irk him and are foundational to his coaching strategy when he has to be a little bit more of a micromanager across the board.
Yeah. It's strange. Lou Merlone brought this point up earlier in the week, and I thought it was really, really interesting. And he's been banging on this drum for a while about how the Patriots seem to have suffered greater coaching attrition than people realize, whether it was, like you said, having some of his kids come in on the coaching staff, doing a good job, but still, like, they've only been there a couple of years, though they've been learning football from their dad their whole lives. And Mayo's only been there a couple of years. Sure, he's been in the Patriots system for well over a decade, but he hasn't been a coach that long. You lose 50% of your offensive line coaching staff because Cole Popovich leaves due to a vaccination issue. So it's Carmen Brasillo, and now former offensive lineman Billy Yates is his assistant. You know, you can't lose. And I know Matt Patricia's back and he's wearing a number of hats and doing a bunch of different things.
Well, and I think that's why. I think that I think that Bill, we don't know what Matt Patricia's role is. It's undefined. It's very ambiguous. During camp, like, we had a sense that it had something to do with personnel and kind of a front office role. Then in camp, he was down on the field at times, seemingly coaching the defense. Not totally coaching, but definitely acting in a coaching capacity. So it seems like in bringing him back from after his departure from the Lions, it looks like Belichick wanted another trusted person to come back because he was losing some key players in the coaching staff.
Yeah, it's tough shakes. And you think like, oh, well, Belichick's still there, so they've got all this coaching continuity. And if Bill Belichick taps you, he puts his hand on your shoulder and says, you've been chosen to work with the Patriots. You're obviously good enough to be a part of a premier organization. But at the same time, you know, you don't have those 20, 30 years of trust that other coaches have on certain staffs or that they had. It's just, it's not the same. It's not the same thing. Like, we see the flying Elvis. We associate it with Tom Brady. We associate it with dominance. And we associate it with so much success over the past 20 some odd years. But at the same time, it's a completely new team and it's a new coaching structure. And it's, you know, the more things we thought were the same, the more they've actually changed. So I guess we're going to have to adjust expectations accordingly.
It's a double-edged sword because you're not just losing those coaches. It's not like those coaches are retiring from football or deciding to go to the college level. They're going to Miami. They're going to the Giants. They're going to teams that you see. And so not only are you losing the talent from your coaching staff, but then they're coming up and they at least have a little bit of your number because they've been inside Gillette and know some of the operations there.
617-779-7937. See all those calls who want to talk Patriots on the screener. Don't go anywhere, guys. We're just going to pay some bills and bring it home with the third and final hour here. Fitzy and Mego on WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.